Good morning, everyone. I'm Mary Griffith. The Mary Griffith Show for Thursday, February 13th, underway, sponsored by Hillbean Auto Body. We've had some fender benders. People are driving way too fast. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hillbean. Well, Jim Chamberlain from the Quincy Family YMCA could not come in today. They have lots of things happening at the Y with schools out. They take care of kids while school is out. They also are open as a warming center for those whose homes cannot be adequately warm. So there's lots going on at the YMCA today in Quincy, in Brown County, and in Pike County. So if you need help, be sure to call them. But ever to the ready to fill in a space on the Mary Griffith Show is my colleague, Denise Talkett. Good morning, Denise.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for offering to fill this slot. You are, and I knew you were very involved, but I didn't realize you were the president of the board of the Advocacy Network for Children.
Absolutely. You can't have a better cause, right? Being a voice for children.
I tell you, you've got two adorable children of your own, and they are very lucky to be born into a family with two loving parents. All those loving grandparents and nieces right. and nephews and aunts and uncles, they've got them all. Some children are not that lucky, and you realize that, I'm sure, and that's what the Advocacy Network for Children is about. We're going to talk about their fundraiser, because there's a lot of fun auction items, great ways to have fun, swishing for a mission. But let's let people understand what the Advocacy Network does. Sherry Centani is going to get your Volunteer of the Year Award, and she's been a court-appointed special advocate for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Two of her cases lasted 5 years. That's a commitment. That's not come down and put stamps on an envelope one afternoon when you volunteer. So you take people that want to volunteer for an hour a month, and you take people that want to really step in and say, I'm this child's advocate in court. You have all kinds of volunteer jobs, all kinds of things you do for kids.
Absolutely. So within the CASA program, you are able to be that voice for a child in the court system. And in our last fiscal year, we had voices for over 200 kids in the court system. And if you're like, oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start. What do I do? That's okay. We have a fabulous CASA coordinator, Danielle Woodyard, who can help step you through the process. And she meets with you. You take notes. You meet with the child. You get to know the environment. You are their voice. So you want to get to know the child as best as possible. And some, like you said, require a longer amount of time if you're able, or something a little lesser. So there's options for you specifically with the CASA program. But you're wanting to be a voice for those abused or neglected children, and the Advocacy Network for Children is a great place to start if you're wanting to help those kids within the CASA program.
One thing that makes CASA so different is sometimes, let's say there's a child abuse or neglect charge is leveled against a parent or against a relative, a blood relative. Well, this becomes very problematic because until this is adjudicated in a court of law, this child is caught. It's birthday party. You know, we're having a Valentine's Day party tomorrow, and everybody's coming, but can Uncle Billy Bob be there when his suspected target is also there? So there are a lot of things that happen in families that require some special finesse, things mm-hmm. that maybe a lot of families don't even think about. You deal with children that I'm sure you've been educated, Denise, to have problems you never even imagined.
And I think it's out of sight, out of mind sometimes for some of us, right? If you don't want to see it, maybe it doesn't even happen. But that's not in the world in which we live today. So giving a voice to those children and making sure that they feel comfortable and that they have somebody in their corner, for instance, a basketball game or a Valentine's Day party. It's the simple stuff like that that you might not think of, but creating that relationship helps them, but also, I mean, talk about the sense of enjoyment that you as a volunteer get as well. And that's just half of what the Advocacy Network does. And I think sometimes there's a little discrepancy on what people think the Advocacy Network does. CASA is a large part of it, but also that CAC element as well is just, it's insane the amount of time and effort that goes. And that is the non-volunteer part of the advocacy.
Right. That's when a counselor meets with children, and so they don't have to tell their story of abuse or neglect over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Their decisions, their answers are recorded. You know, you have a right to face your accuser in court, but what if your accuser is a five-year-old child? Mm-hmm. You know, is it realistic to pull them up in a court setting and set them across from their alleged, perpetrator? So there's a lot of things that the Child Advocacy Network does that really help children in the court system navigate through when they are victimized.
And it's amazing to see the training that our people go under to be able to ask the right questions in an interview that is filmed and used in court if necessary, so that the child doesn't have to get on the stand. They can use this video if necessary, and they ask the right questions. The advocacy has a fabulous environment that allows everything to be secure, and then there's police officers there or different staff that needs to be present to make this validity. And it's just, it's amazing the training that they have to undergo to be able to make the child feel comfortable, because that's what it's all about. It's all about the child, right? We want the best interest
right.
of the kid.
Let them tell their story, but don't be coached. Don't
right.
be coerced.
Right.
You know, you've got to have an impartial third party so that we know what's going on. So this is why they need to raise money now. Of course, Denise, she is very serious side talking about the Child Advocacy Network. But on February 21st, which is just around the corner, they need your reservations.
Yes, March 6th is the date.
It's the date of the event.
The talk points I gave you, Mary, I left that out.
Boy, you have got to get your reservations in real quick. They'd really like them today.
So, I would love them.
At the Ambience, they are going to have Swishin' for a Mission, and the tip-off dinner is at 7. Cocktails pregame begin at 6.
Fancy.
And live inside an auction, games, and more. Admission is only $50 per fan, and I like that you've had this basketball-themed event now for quite some time. So, again, what's the date of this March?
It is Friday, March 6th. We just like to keep it on a Friday. People can come after work, and then they can head into the weekend. But it really is just a joyful time to celebrate raising money to help these kids. And we'll have fabulous games. We've got live auction items that are really, really good as well. The meal will be fabulous. And like I said, it's just coming together to support kids
right.
in our community, because this money stays local, right? We're in several counties here within Illinois for both CASA and the CAC office, so this money really does go towards local people.
And I love some of the live auction items.
Yeah.
A barbecue party for 20 by JJ's Kitchen Catering. We've all eaten JJ's before, and it's really wonderful. A wine club. I like that. No horsing around. Hey, a unique birthday party for your kiddos out at Quest Stables. Not only will they get to ride the horses, but they'll get to pet their noses and brush their tails.
That's
and
awesome.
Learn about grooming them when they go for a horseback ride with a horse piñata full of candy at the end of it. A spring landscape cleanup donated by Carol Rakers from Creative Gardens. Chicago Cubs and Amtrak train tickets. Wow.
Those are always a favorite, donated by Kent Snyder and Hanson Spears. So those always go super well. And then we've got other Cubs cards, tickets, a Sandestin, Florida resort trip stay. I mean, come on. And then this one is super fun. The Dan and Jerry Convoy are donating cats at the St. Louis Fox. So they'll have tickets down there, and then they're going to give you some money for dinner, and it's totally cool. And then one of the very special ones from Emerald City Jewelers is the Advocacy Network for Children logo pendant. So they've designed that specifically for us, so you can bid on that. And in addition to all of these live auction, we have tons of silent auction items that are really, really wonderful, so that not only do you feel like you're donating to a wonderful cause, but you get good stuff too.
Yeah.
That fundraising committee is working hard.
In a way, the stuff is priceless, because the cats tickets aren't available, so guess what? You're going to be sitting in their seats. The St. Louis Cardinals versus Cubs package, usually sold out. You're never going to get tickets as good as the Rayburns and the Spears have. So lots of great things and people's personal resorts that they put up. There's a lot of fun. There's also a lot of smaller little items that are up for bid. So folks that maybe don't have a couple of $100 to spend on an item, or maybe a couple $1,000 to spend on an item, can also go around and, what's that called? The silent auction, where you just try to outbid your friends, right?
Yeah. And then we also have the games too. I mean, because not all of us have a large amount of income to donate, and we totally understand. And you being in attendance is enough of a donation. So thank you so much for coming. But there's games that you can participate in that you could win a prize for. So it's still all money that is going towards a great cause.
Right. I think that's it. You know, $50 to get in, you do get a meal, and you know, you have your fun, and you are with like-minded people, and that's enough of a donation. Mm-hmm. And then if you also want to go together with some friends and maybe bid against with some other people on the other side of the room to see who gets that.
Mary, what are we going to bid against?
I don't know, Denise. I think that place in Sandestin, Florida.
Right?
Lee Lindsay, thank you. I'll take a week away in Sandestin in Florida.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Right? Yeah, and you can't go in June or July, but frankly, I don't want to go to Florida in June or July.
I want to go now.
Yeah, I want to go now. Can Denise and I think we should go check this out, make sure quality control.
We could try out our broadcasting live system. We got to make sure it works from Florida.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Denise and I were given a mission yesterday by our general manager to check it all out, so that's what we'll do. Well, Denise, thank you first and foremost. A busy mother, full-time working mom, mother of two, and you are the president of the Advocacy Network for Children's Board. Swishing for a Mission is March 6th. It's a Friday night at the Ambiance. It'll be part of kind of the March Madness. And so get your reservations in. Call 223-2272, 223-2272 to purchase your tickets or go online at the Advocacy Network.
Advonet.org.
Final thought?
Mary, you're just such a ball full of fun. We can't wait to see you.
I've been before.
I know.
You've even given away a guest appearance on the Mary Griffith Show.
Yeah, you're doing it again this year.
I didn't even know. You didn't even bother to ask me anymore.
I just know you're just
Denise
that generous.
Denise just does it. Thank you, Denise.
Bye.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're going to be talking about a big Mardi Gras dance that's coming up, put on by the American Business Women's Association Quincy Charter Chapter. Lois Campbell is here, a member of the group, and a lot of fun at the Mardi Gras dance, February 22nd at the Elks Lodge, 311 North 2nd from 7 to 11. And you get $25 per person. That includes your appetizers and music by Raised on Radio. And a portion of the proceeds are going to the Blessing Breast Center. So tell us about the party, please.
All right. This is our second year of doing the Mardi Gras dance, and each year it just gets bigger and better. So we're so excited that on February 22nd we're going to offer this again. We you know, Raised on Radio is going to play for us from 7 to 11. We will have appetizers. We will have a photo booth and a silent auction. And it's just a fun event for everyone. Tickets are $25 each or a table of 8 for $175. So you can get one ticket free. So
okay.
Get your friends together.
Get the friends together with a table of 8. That's always a lot of fun. And then you know you'll be seated together and you'll have everything in place. And again, you know, Mardi Gras, it's just a fun time to celebrate. We're supposed to celebrate at Mardi Gras before we go into Lent, and we're supposed to be all, for you know, somber and everything. So it's wonderful. Wear your purple, gold, and green, right?
Right.
Those are the Mardi Gras
right.
colors. Now, if you'd like information, if you'd like tickets, you can call 440-5675, or they've got lots of places to buy tickets. Liberty Bank at 41st and Broadway, Wellman Florist at 11th and Broadway, and at 16th and Highland Lane, and Something Borrowed at 727 Hampshire. So get your tickets for the Mardi Gras dance. Can you just show up at the door?
We're trying to discourage that because we need to get our reservations in. So we would really like to have a head count by the 17th. So if you're interested, call us.
Yes, because they need to get those appetizers. They need to know how much food to fix. That will definitely be a fun time. Raised on Radio, you can't go wrong with them as a group. You also have another fundraiser. You are giving away tickets. You're raffling off tickets to the Cardinal game of your choice. Box seats to a Cardinal game of your choice, sponsored by Destination Travel. Golly gee, Cubs games are not included, nor are the playoffs or World Series, because you know we're going to make both of those this year. But let's talk about this, because this Sunday afternoon from noon to 4, you're going to be out selling these raffle tickets at Quincy Farm and Home Supply.
Yes, they. It is a raffle for 4 box seat tickets. They are 17 rows behind home plate. And as Mary said, it's a game of your choice, except for the Cubs games, playoffs, and World Series. And they are $5 each, or you get 5 for 20.
Okay.
So, and again, we're going to be at Farm and Home from noon to 4 o'clock selling tickets.
And it's hard to put a real retail value on this, because these are Lori Shannon, Mike Shannon, and Lori Shannon. These are their tickets, right?
Yes, so, but it is like a $600
yeah.
value.
But it's even more than that, because unless you happen to be them, you're not going to be seated. Of course, Mike's always got a seat. He doesn't need these tickets, but Lori from Destination Travel has got great seats for you to a Cardinal game. So one more way to help them is to go out to Farm and Home this Sunday from noon to 4 and buy these tickets. And if you love the Cardinals, why not take a chance at getting these right behind home plate seats? They're probably the best seat you'll ever sit in Busch Stadium in your life. And the winner's going to be picked at the Mardi Gras dance.
Yes, we will pick the winner that night, but you do not have to be present to win. But we would like for you to be present. And so at Farm and Home, we will also have tickets to the dance if you would like to get those.
I think that's a great idea. So, folks, the American Business Women's Association. I'm going to have Lois Campbell real quickly explain, what is your organization? Who belongs? How could we join? And why be a member?
Any woman can join American Business Women's Association. So the organization has been around since 1949. And it was organized, and our mission still remains the same as it did back in 1949, to bring together businesswomen of diverse occupations and to provide opportunities for them to help themselves and others grow personally and professionally through leadership, education, networking support, and national recognition. So in a nutshell, we offer women opportunities for whatever their personal or professional needs may be.
It's
we
great
mentor
networking,
them,
yeah.
Network. Our meetings, are the first Thursday of every month, and we meet at 5:30 for networking, and then at 6 o'clock we have dinner and a program. Actually, our members kind of choose the programs mm-hmm. they want. We have a member interest survey that we send out once a year. Our members choose from that what they want our programs to be on, and we accommodate them with
okay.
that. So it's a continuing education for women in our community.
And boy, back in the 40s, their business women were few and far between, or if they were, they were under the radar, you know. And now their women are in the workforce more and more, so we need this support group. So you're welcome to come on the first Thursday of any night at Tony's, right? Tony's, too, is where
you go? Well, we actually
meet at different places.
We do meet at different places. The majority are at Tony's
okay.
too. But on the first Thursday of every month, and if you go to ABWA Quincy on Facebook, you can learn more about what we're offering that month.
Okay. So get your tickets to the Mardi Gras dance, $25 per person, $175 for a table of eight. It's February 22nd at the Elks Club from 7 to 11, Raised on Radio. We'll be rocking it out. And you can buy those tickets this Sunday from noon to 4 at Farm and Home Supply, where you can also buy raffle tickets for Cardinal box seats right behind home plate, given away by Destination Travel and Lori Shannon. And, yeah, if Mike Shannon's wife can't get good tickets to a ball game, I don't know who can. One more thing, yes.
Yes, and I forgot to say that doesn't cost you anything to check us out at your first meeting. Your meeting fee is free.
Okay. Sounds great. Lois Campbell, thank you so much for stopping by today. Good luck. And I love putting your announcements on the community calendar every month. Thank you for sending them to me. They always have a great guest speaker.
Little grease action.
Yeah. Mike Elby with his cigarettes rolled up in his T-shirt.
Yeah, that's right.
The president of John Wood Community College joins me today. And I was laughing because President Elby agreed to do this interview last week. And here today, John Wood has canceled classes. On a day like today, you probably do that because of the it's a commuter college. People have to be out on the road. It's bitterly cold. If there was an accident or something, the student life and safety, it's not like a residential college
Absolutely.
Where kids are walking from the dorm. So we understand that the students didn't have to report today, and the faculty probably are given half of a day off at least. But the president's already had a whole bunch of meetings this morning, so
that is
you're busy.
Correct. Yeah, it is a busy day.
It is a busy day.
And I will say, Mary, it's all about safety.
Yeah.
You know, it's safety of our students. And like you said, we're 100% commuter campus, and so we have adult learners that have children that are staying home because of the local schools being canceled, and our traditional age students to travel. I'd say the majority of our students park outside. You know, I know my truck was froze up, and it was difficult to get the doors open. And so, you know, it's just about safety and, you know, being that it wasn't going to warm up and, you know, it's still 1 degree outside, you know, so it's not like it's going to thaw out real quick. So it's all about safety.
You have to make decisions just like Roy Webb does. And really, when you have a non-traditional campus, a commuter campus with non-traditional students, these aren't 18 and 19-year-olds. Some of them are, of course, coming to school, but some of them, they're home today because when all the other schools are off, these parents have to provide child care sometimes for their own kids.
Absolutely. So, and I think it's important that people understand our adult learners compared to traditional age students are about 50-50.
Yeah.
About half of our students are adult learners that, you know, working full-time or part-time, and most of our students do work part-time or full-time and have families and children that are in school, and so we try to be very sensitive to that.
John Wood Community College is such a unique thing, and I think because we've had it so long in our area, people don't quite understand how really unique it is. The community college is that bridge. We don't have the closest four-year college we have that's state-funded would be Western Illinois. Well, now that they've built a four-lane highway up there, it's not quite as hard to get up there, but right. In the olden days, you couldn't commute to go to Western unless you took two classes on one day, and that was it, you know. So John Wood serves a niche. One of the things that I just find fascinating about John Wood is about a third, approximately between 30 and 35% of all high school graduates in your district are going to spend their freshman year at John Wood. You're capturing a full third of the high school population.
And we call that our market share. And actually, this past year, it was 32%. So almost one out of every three students from our 14 district high schools attend John Wood Community College the first year or two of their...
not true in other districts, is it?
Well, it's high, but there are other community colleges that have market shares similar to ours.
Oberly Area Community College certainly doesn't, though, do they?
I don't know their market
share. Don't know their market share. But,
and
I mean,
just
that's,
one
that's
clarification.
Really
one clarification on that market share. It's not of the students that choose to go to college. It's the total number of students graduating from those high schools, meaning that some go to the military, some go directly to work, and some go to college. So out of all the graduates, 32% choose to go to John Wood, which is a tribute to our faculty and a tribute to our staff who support our students in and out of the classroom.
And a tribute to the effectiveness and the cost effectiveness of your school. Years ago, there were problems, many years ago. I went to John Wood for 2 years, and now my courses won't transfer, and I wanted to go to Illinois, or I wanted to go to Western, and oh boy, half my classes don't transfer. You solved that problem. John Wood solved that problem a long time ago. If you take the classes that your counselor says you have to have, you guarantee that they'll transfer to another four-year institution.
Yeah, the transferability has changed throughout the years, and it's changed because of the articulation agreements we have with our four-year college partners. And those articulation agreements articulate our classes with their classes, so of ease of transferability. So it's changed throughout the years, and transferability is very efficient to be able to take your general education requirements and transfer to a four-year college, whether it's public or private, in-state, out-of-state, wherever you want to transfer to.
It's pretty easy. John Wood is capturing more than their share of the market, probably, as many people would say. You're providing a lot of basic education to high school graduates and then to that non-traditional student. Your enrollment numbers have been strong, but in a sense, that's really a tribute to you, because our population in this area is not growing, and the number of youngsters is definitely not growing. So you can't just say, oh, our enrollment went up 4%. Gee whiz, what happened? Our enrollment went down 10%, because you only have so many human beings in your area. How do you look at the future? We've got the census coming up. Yeah. We've got a lot of things coming up. What do you think it's going to look like 10 years from now, enrollment today versus enrollment 10 years from now?
Yeah, that's, you know, you bring up a very important point, and it is a very challenging environment to grow a college in as far as student numbers. Unemployment rate's under 3%. Half of our students are adult learners that are working, making a good wage, don't think about going back on a different career path. traditional age market, just declining student graduating classes from high schools. And so it's extremely challenging, and that's why we have to be extremely creative on how we continue to grow. And, you know, when you look at our enrollment, and I wouldn't say we've grown substantially, but we have been strong in just maintaining our enrollment. And I want to share with you, Illinois Community College Board produces an enrollment report every year, and they do a five-year look back. And this past year, we're up about 1%, and the system was down about 4.2%. So that system, when I talk about it, are the 48 community colleges that are in the state of Illinois. The system was down 4.2, and we were up just a little under or right above 1%. And so I think it's important to know that, why is that? Well, we started an HVAC program, and it exceeded the numbers that we really had a limit on. And so we've tried to be extremely creative on what we're trying to do. Missouri Scholarship has been something that's been very strong. We expanded our health sciences program. So those things allow us to be one of the few schools in the state that's showing minimal growth. The five-year look back on enrollment, the system was down 15.2%. John Wood Community College was one of four colleges in the state that showed we were only 0.4% up, but we weren't 15.2% down. And it's really about strategic planning and the people, the planning, and the partnerships that we've been able to establish to be able to maintain an enrollment and not see the declines that other community colleges are throughout the state of Illinois.
Yeah, you can't always grow. I mean, because at some point in time you have a geographic area, and there's just only so much you can do. But you opened up. Ah, he showed his neck, and now Mary Griffith is going to pounce like a pit bull. You mentioned the Missouri, attracting students from Missouri.
Yeah.
Golly gee, Mr. LB, I pay taxes in the John Wood District. Why should I be subsidizing Missouri students to get an education here?
And I've been cornered in the grocery store a few times. And I want to reply to that because, you know, if you look at the workforce needs in this community, in this region, you know, we need welders, we need truck drivers, we need people to work in the healthcare industry, whether it's a CNA, a nurse, surge tech, med lab tech. So there are so many workforce needs, especially in the career technical field, okay, that we felt that it was prudent for the college to open up that Missouri market more, and it's only for the high school seniors that are coming out of it. And our focus is recruitment of students wanting to go on the career technical path. We're not going to compete with the A-plus scholarship that's in Missouri.
Which is free to Moberly Area Community College.
That is
if you
correct.
Get great grades, you can already go to MAC free
right.
of charge.
So we're not going to compete with those students. Where we want to be competitive is those students that want to go on a career technical path, that want to work in manufacturing or want to work in healthcare or transportation, logistics, or even agriculture. We have a large population of our agricultural students come from Missouri. So, you know, we need to look at this more regionally than we do just our district. And we feel like Missouri market is an opportunity for us to serve more of those workforce needs, to try to address some of the workforce demands that we see at our, you know, our career technical places and industries in the area.
Well, you did a great job, but I'm going to follow up with another pit bull strike.
All right.
That's great. I do understand it. I think that makes a lot of sense. You're offering them an incentive. It's a relatively small incentive. If it keeps them in our community, whether they live in Illinois or Missouri after they graduate, they're producing in our economy. And let's face it, that river doesn't really separate us all that much. But there still is the matter of taxation.
Right.
And if I come to John Wood, subsidized as an in-state tuition student, and then I take my agricultural degree and go back and farm in Perry, Missouri, I am not contributing to the John Wood Community College property tax base.
Right.
Therefore, you have given me a scholarship, a reduced
Correct.
Rate that I am under no obligation to repay, although if I become a member of the Ag Alumni Association, I guess I could make a contribution.
Sure. you're tough, Mary.
I know,
I'm going to say two things with that.
Okay.
One is you're already making the assumption that they're going to return to Missouri and not accept a job in Illinois, which they could, so I understand that part of it. But the other piece of that is I think a lot of those people that do reside in Missouri come to this community and shop. You know, they come over, they eat at our restaurants, they go to the stores, they are active consumers in our community. So although maybe the ideal is for them to take a job in our area, be Illinois citizens and pay local taxes, the reality of it is if they choose not to, I still feel like they come to Quincy and support our economy. So
we'll track them and get money out of them for the foundation, okay?
Yeah, that's it.
Dr. Elby, we are out of time for today. We have to have you come back when we have more time because your ag program is just stellar, and you mentioned that. That draws a lot of kids in. Your technical training, I know that our employers are so thankful that you're trying to fill the jobs that are needed. So, you know, I tried to find one harsh thing, but you know, after that I just can't do it because John Wood's got it going on pretty darn good.
Yeah, and so. I just want to say thank you for the invitation, and we're working very hard to try to keep a vibrant, healthy, and growing institution. We've got a lot of work to do, but you know, we get up every day and try to strive to serve this community and the people living in it.
Okay.
And before I leave, I just want to thank you. 32 years on this radio show, and I told you before, I said, wow, you know, you've become sort of a local icon, and you've owned the radio waves.
Okay.
So, Mary, thank you for those 32 years of service.
32 years from now, we'll both be here. I'll be very old. Mike will be very old. But if you take this snow day to have more babies, we'll both be. We'll talk about it.
We should help our population.
Enrollment boost 18 years from now. We're predicting it now. Thank you very
much. Absolutely. Thank you.